far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
our Gundam fandom begins to evolve as we get to review Gundam Evolve.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
All right, and we are recording.
Awesome. I'll be honest, I didn't really pay attention to the last two episodes.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Well, there were SD Gundam, and then it was like a Mobile Suit Gundam for the last couple.
Well, I mean, I paid attention, but I really, really wasn't like totally focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, 2 hours for 15 shorts is kind of long for me.
Yeah, kind of. There were like a lot of them, and it was like some of them, it got kind of repetitive because they would do some of the same series multiple times. Like, there half of them were Mobile Suit and Zeta, and they didn't have any for Turn A and X.
No Victory Gundam, darn it!
Yeah, and Victory wasn't there either.
Yeah.
So for anyone just tuning in, we are talking about Gundam Evolve, which is something that was sent to us by Right Stuff, and this is some sort of OVA or ONA, or I'm not sure what exactly it is, but it's some shorts of Gundam, and it's of various different series.
Yes. It's mostly shorts from different series, but I'll do introductions in case no one has ever listened to this podcast before. And if this is your first time, turn around and walk the other way. It's for the best. maybe that's why our numbers keep going down. But I think we get a ton of downloads. Anyways, I am Dustin or Xeonic Freak, and my co-host with me is
John Jones.
And we're here to talk about Gundam Evolve, the DVD set that was sent to us from Right Stuff, like I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And we're now getting around to it. No, we got in the same package as Magic Users Club, and we did a review of that a few weeks ago.
Right, which still hasn't come out.
No, it'll be out eventually. Don't worry.
Yeah,
this is just going to add to the endless backlog of stuff that I can edit for this summer. So
plus we have Magic Users Club DVD they sent us too.
Yeah, it's the TV series, which is like 12 or 13 episodes.
Yeah, at least it's short.
I don't know about you, but they were kind enough to send me Super Gals.
No, I didn't get that.
52 episodes. John, wait. I don't know how much of that I'm going to watch.
Wait, this is like some Magical Girl series or something? I didn't even get it in the mail.
I don't know. I don't think so, according to the title. It just seems like a bunch of preteen girls that are superheroes, and they buy a bunch of crap from Akihabara. That's all I've gotten from That's what it basically says on the back. Like,
read the description to me. It sounds terrible.
Hold up. Putting that headset down. I'll tell you what. Put it into this right now.
Are you finding the DVD?
Yeah, I've got the whole set in my hand. I don't know why they didn't send you one. Anyways.
It's probably going to come eventually.
Well, I thought you were going to say it's probably for the best.
Maybe so.
Okay, so the head subtitle thing on the back says, boom, every episode of Super Gals, every ironclad rule, and all the Shibuya slang packed into a single, complete set! Exclamation point. Sporting designer clothes, makeup, and nails. Ran Kotobuki is the very picture of a, or yeah, very picture, what? Okay, of a trendy young Shibuya girl. But don't let that fool you. This girl comes from a family of cops, and she ready to lay out you flat, lay you out flat, mother. I can't read. Even if you think about causing trouble in her town, homie, at least she will. When she's not distracted with karaoke, shopping, and dodging her homework and other... Okay, join Rand and her friends as they defend the streets of Shibuya and attempt to stop or to shop their way into the history books as the famous gals ever. Contains all 52 episodes on 10 DVDs. Clean opening, closing, U.S. trailer. Super Gals Explain It All. 1 through 6, bios, gal slang, and liner notes. Na 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 na.
Wow.
I haven't seen Clarissa Explains It All in a very long time. That's probably the only thing that has my attention. I'm like, Super Gals Explain It All, and I'm just like, na 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 na. Melissa Joan Hart. Okay. If ever we're gonna watch or review that, but that probably should come up. I don't know.
Maybe we'll watch like the first episode or something. You can stream it if they don't send it to me.
See, now my mind is on Clarissa Explains It All, because then you have to have the biker, like 90s biker jacket wearing teenage homeboy D bag at the time that like shows up and he just eats your fridge up. Okay. And then you gotta have, they better have a redhead, like little brother named Ferguson in it. Cause it wouldn't be complete without Super Gals Explaining It All. That's all I gotta say.
I have a feeling it'll be very different from Felicia Explains It All.
Probably not as good. And this is coming from someone who watched a ton of Nickelodeon shows in the 90s. And let me just say, based on what I've seen from rewatching all that, some of that doesn't hold up very well.
Yeah.
I want to assume that Clarissa Explains It All would probably still hold up 20 years later, but don't quote me on that.
What year is this Supergirls thing from?
What year?
Yeah. Is it old?
I know it came from it's from 2001. I knew it looked familiar because I remember seeing ads for Supergals in the old New Type USA issues when they started putting those out. So, I think this was originally put out by ADV, and they would promote it on their web magazine, along with other stuff, if it pertained to them.
Yeah. So, this is a re-license that it's got, like, an old early 2000s dub.
I'm going to assume so. I mean, I've never seen it. I have no clue what it's about.
Uh-huh.
The friends I hung out with that watched anime never told me or watched it for themselves, so based on what I know about it, I know nothing. So
right.
I hung out with some good guy or pretty decent enough anime fans going back 10 years ago that, I mean, they didn't watch Super Gals, let's just say that.
If we do a review of that one, Right Stuff's not going to be pleased by us trashing the product.
I'm trying my best. I don't know, maybe it's not so bad. I mean, Magic Users Club, I mean, I said it was alright. It's not mediocre, but it was one of those things that's like, alright, this isn't my cup of tea. However, it's not that bad.
Yeah, it was at least reasonably entertaining, I guess.
Yeah, it had some really cool stuff in it, so. But that review will come out in due time.
Probably this one.
Yeah, probably before this one. So.
But yeah, this one was, pretty different from Magic Users Club in that it's none of the stuff is connected. it's all just random shorts, so it seems very disjointed.
Yeah, I think it's just there to kind of build upon other Gundam OVA series, and I'm guessing these were like stuff on the internet, but this they made these in between 2001 and 2006. So it must have been through like their Bandai website as like special stuff, because like each one, aside from maybe a few people, they're all done by different directors. The only people that seem to be consistently showing up in the credits are the voice actors for Amuro and Char, Suichi Ikeda, and Toyo Yurinapa. Oh man, I messed up that name bad. But
who?
Toyo Furuyura, the guy who voices Amuro.
Oh, okay.
They seem to show up consistently. Ryusuke Takahashi is shown up in the credits either for like being like some sort of like series advisor or something. But the stuff that, like, I think probably half the stuff that he's got his title to it is kind of good, and the others, I'm like, well, I don't think he was there that day. I don't know. but some of these were hit or miss. I mean, there was others I was just like, man, this is so bad and so boring. Well, not really. It wasn't a bad one. It was just some really boring stuff. And then some were pretty fun. I want to say probably the best one I liked was the one with the three Zeta suits that I thought was related to Gundam Sentinel, but it might not have been. And then the one where it was the kid in the ball unit and they're excavating or searching through like a Bawaku like a week, like over a week after the battle. And like his like little ball unit gets taken out and he's like the last survivor. And it's like a really hard thriller there. It's pretty good. Like I was enticed, like, you know, is he going to survive around this corner or not? And then it's all like really slow and slow pace sort of, but it was like the tension was there. And I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, that one had some neat CGI. I thought those little ball units looked sort of like the Clydes from Toonami, like the little mechas that they have on the ship. But yeah, there were some interesting designs in this, because it's such early CGI that they're like experimenting with different kinds of designs, and it's not as polished as modern CGI.
Yeah, I mean, I think the worst it got was like CGI from like CGI motion scenes in PS1 games or something, possibly PS2.
Yeah, it does look very, very much like a PS1 game. I mean, like an early Gundam video game.
Yeah, I mean, the one that seemed very apparent was the God Gun one. I was like, that looked like something that came out of a PS1 game directly.
Yeah, the first few especially, because they were, I think the first five were made before the other 10 or something, going by what Wikipedia says. I don't know how far apart they all are, but yeah, it's as the time goes by, you know, the animation does get better in them, but even the most recent ones in it are from like 2006 or so, or 2007. So yeah, it's
the last handful of them came from about 2005, 2006.
Yeah, so you know, even 2005 and 2006 animation, it looks pretty dated now, but still it, you can tell what's going on. It's not like the CGI's hideous or anything. It's just, you know, it doesn't look quite like it would if they did it today.
No, I mean, CGI for Japan, it's always been like sort of a joke in terms of like they're 10 years behind on 3D effects or whatever. But, I mean, they take what they have and they use it and utilize it the best they can. And, like, they'll try to make something look good even if, like, the CGI, even if the technology's a bit outdated. I mean, in terms of, like, the stuff that they, were putting out, I mean, that was on quality for the technology along with, like, MS Igloo, and that came out in early 2000s also.
Yeah. This is comparable to that, I think, yeah, in terms of the quality of the animation. So the first one, though, it doesn't actually have any CGI, because it starts out with a traditionally animated one where they're using clips from the original Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yeah, it's very tightly edited to just show the action scenes of like the Gundam doing stuff for like 5 minutes. That's pretty much it. But I mean, In terms of editing, it's very well done, I believe.
Yeah, it's all like Amuro in various fights that he gets in, and mm-hmm. then at the end he's talking to Sayla. And did you say that was new animation? It looked a little different.
Yeah, it was definitely new animation.
Yeah, I thought so.
For all of 4 seconds as he was taking off, and I'm like, really, that's it?
Yeah. Cloud was like, is this scene important to Mobile Suit Gundam? Well, no, not really.
Unless you're a gigantic Gundam nerd like we are.
Well, even I don't know where that would be placed in the timeline. Is that supposed to be like before the final battle? Because almost everything has already happened going by with the show.
I thought it was either before the final battle. I thought maybe before Solomon, maybe. Because I don't really remember if they showed clips of Solomon. Or, no, they did, because they had Slugger Law get attack with like the big Zom's toe hooks or whatever.
And they had like a part where they showed the deaths.
About the coup.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I didn't take any notes on this, so like if you just said what Mobile Suit was in it, then I kind of know where you're going with. So what was the next one?
Yeah, well, I've got the page on Wikipedia up. They have a Gundam Evolve page where it's got a list of all the episodes.
All right.
So the first one is the recap episode, and then the second one, it says it takes place after the Grips conflict and revolves around Camille Bidon and Astonage.
Oh, that one I think was more like collecting data in a training simulator thing. That was the way I understood it. I mean, it was, but in terms of like the 3D effects and the CGI in it, it was basically kind of like they went through like a sort of a transition, or it's like they, you know, you got the shell of the Gundam, but they kind of lower the opacity so you can see the internal gears. So it's really for nerds that are like into like Gundam models. Well, actually, like a lot of the credits from what I saw was like they based their models off these mobile suits from either the model kits or the toy lines that came out at the time. Like there was some that had like the Altair Sai figures that I didn't even know Altair Sai made Gundam figures. They probably did at the time, but it was probably like very rare, I guess. And then you've got like the others that came from model kits and like version Ka probably. That's what I assume like the Gundam Wing clip came from, was like from the version Ka or version Katoke Master Grade, because that came out about the time as this video did.
Okay, so these come out as like a little DVD that comes with the model when you buy it in Japan or something?
I have no idea, man. I mean, I've known about Gundam Evolve, but it was one of those things that it was like, oh, they made shorts, and it was online. And I thought it was just catered directly to the Bandai website.
Yeah, that's what I thought,
might be
too.
There might be something on Wikipedia about it. I don't have it pulled up, so you're just going to have to tell me.
Yeah, I have it on Wikipedia, but it doesn't have the details about what exactly the reason was that these were made.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they just said it's to promote Gundam or something like that. I mean, I guess if somebody sees this and they haven't seen anything from Gundam,
yeah,
this will give you like a good run through, and you'll get to see all the different designs of each mecha. And if you're, you know, choosing which show to watch based on which specific Gundam design looks the best to you, then this is a good place to start. But you know, like we said earlier, it's missing several, so you don't have anything after Seed, and you don't have Turn A, Victory, and X. So it's not like you get a full picture of Gundam, and there's no F-91 either.
I just thought of that, yeah. They left that F-91. Well, they didn't add 0080 either.
Right. Hmm. So, yeah, there's an 08MS is not in it.
That's true, yeah.
So there's like a variety of things that are not in it, but you do get to see Wing and Seed and SD and the various UC shows, the original Zeta, Double Zeta, mm-hmm. and Char's Counterattack is in it as well. So it's got a lot of different mech designs in it, so at least you have some sort of variety while you're watching it. But some of them are pretty slow, and there are some that drag on, like the ones that are 15 minutes long.
It was really just the last one with, Charlie Abul that went on for 15 minutes, and it was just Amuro dodging like the thing from the mobile armor he was piloting.
Well, there was another one that was 15 minutes where it was some girl that Amuro had helped get out of a ditch on the side of the road or something.
Yeah. That's the one with the three Zeta Gundams in it. I thought that was like 10 or 12 minutes long. I didn't even know it was 15 minutes long.
Well, some of it's probably the credits, you know, but still.
Yeah. Well, I felt that one was better paced than the last one.
Yeah, I don't know. I was having a hard time focusing on that one because it kind of went on and on. But it was like they kept showing this random new type girl naked, and she was, I don't know what her name is, but she's like some new character.
She was in like the red Zeta suit, and there's really nothing much to say. But like, we'll talk about it when we get to, whenever you say like, yeah, that's the one we're talking about.
Okay, we'll move on to the third one then, because we kind of covered the second one. The third one was the God Gundam one you were talking about earlier, where it was like, Domon is in it, and he's doing these poses inside the Gundam.
Yeah, I actually thought that one was pretty entertaining. Even though it was like 5 minutes, and it's just Rain being mad at him, because she's like, you're not training, and he's like, well, yeah, I am. And then they get into a fight, just to show them fight.
And she starts accusing him of being a philanderer for some reason. Like, I don't know if she thinks he's cheating on her with his Gundam or what.
Unless she thinks that he's cheating on her with Allenby Beardsley.
Yeah.
Because that was that other girl that was, like, all over Domon, and Domon's like, oh, you're like my little sister. And she's like, no, I totally want to do you. And he's just like, no. But, hey, Domon gets Rain in the end, so I don't know why Rain's so... Anyways, that's just part of the fun of these little shorts. Is like, it's their own thing. They're not tied, or some of them aren't. Some are kind of tied to the story, and then others are like, we're doing our own thing. Who cares?
Yeah, they're not really that integral to the plot. Where like, if you just see the shows, you're not really missing much by not seeing these. These are just kind of like a fun add-on.
Yeah, it's like the SD Gundam shorts in the 80s. Those were just kind of there as fun add-ons for people who watched and loved Gundam. So,
yeah. And then the next one after that was, Dendrobium.
Oh, Dendrobium. Okay. Yeah, that one is what I mean as my example of like being connected to the original story, at least trying to put something in there. Because I just kind of like went off the assumption at the end. Well, even at the beginning, sort of like, halfway through the OVA, like they go to the Levian Rose, the Albion team with Koraki, and that was like after the Battle of the Gatto, so they went over there to go get the GP-03 stamen. And I'm guessing that was a battle that happened right before they got there to pick up the Dendrobium. And that's just like one of those little add-on things where it's like, you know, if you've seen 83 and you love it, like me, and you're one of those weird people out there that do, then like you'll like this one. But like in terms of it adding to the original OVA, not so much. I mean, the only thing that kind of sort of like made it interesting was that like Shima gets the Geber Tetra or Terta or Terra, whatever, as her mobile suit at the end of the OVA, which is the red one. And that's based off of another Gundam design, and they took the plans or the suit. I don't know, but she has a hold of it from Anaheim, so that's what she uses in the last final battle against the Dendrobium in the OVA. But I mean, it's just really there to show like cool mobile suit fights and battles and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so what did you say that the suit was based on? It's some unused suit from another show or something, or?
Well, the Dendrobium is it connects to the GP-03 stamen. And then I guess there was another mobile suit, which is the one that Shima uses at the end, that is based off the Gundam, that I didn't know about until I met my friends at high school, and that's what they told me.
Huh. So that was the fourth one, and then, okay, number five was about Char's counterattack. And it was all about quests, and she was just...
being quests!
Yeah, it's just like the same kind of stuff you already saw in Char's counterattack.
Well, this one was a bit different because I guess Tomina wasn't in charge, therefore, there was sort of like this alternative thing where... Hathaway is alive, and so does, and Quest lives after, like, she tries fighting Amuro, and she goes to Hathaway to save him or something, because Amuro is like, you know, stop acting like a bitch and think of other people's feelings in your own, and that's how you don't become a bee. And then she kind of, like, the alpha, she's in the alpha zero at this point, and it kind of just sort of, like, separates, and she goes after Hathaway, or wherever his mobile suit's heading towards, which they said, like, the sun or something. And that's pretty much it.
I was assuming that at the end they both get burnt into the sun or something.
Yeah, I mean, not like this is continuity in any way. The only thing that's, like, after Char's counterattack is Hathaway's flash. But that's sort of like a side story that, like, I guess is still considered canon. I have no idea at this point.
Well, there's other stuff afterwards, like F-91 and Victory, but they're not, they're not really related too closely to it. And there's Unicorn, of course.
Yeah, that's true.
But they don't really bring up Hathaway because, like, nobody really cared about him, apparently.
Yeah, it was too far in the future to, like, bring that crap up, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was the Char's counterattack clip. But again, all this is about pretty mobile suit fights. What was next?
Okay, so that was number 5. And these are divided on the DVD cover into, like, groups of 5 for some reason. And then the next one, it says Dreadnought Gundam.
Oh, that's the one that was based off of that Gundam Seed Astray manga.
Yeah,
that one was like I couldn't care less. That was kind of dumb.
That one was like, he kept saying, "I don't want to hurt anybody," and that was like the only line of dialogue in that one, I think.
Yeah, but then it was like a red ghost mobile suit, and it started killing the other mobile suits. And then the other guy showed up, and they started fighting, and then the person was like, "No, I'm going to fight now." And then they defeat it, and that's about it. I don't know how many people that are going to listen to this that are Gundam Seed fans and know so much about Gundam Seed. I mean, I've seen the compilation movies and part of the series a long time ago. We did a review of it. We did not mention the Astray manga because I think I might still have the first issue, I don't know. But I bought that a long time ago, and I don't even know if I ever finished it.
Right, that's the case for me, too. I think I actually bought the first 3, because that was how many the series was, and they were all at Barnes & Noble. But then I don't think I even made it through the first one. I might have read the first one all the way through, but I definitely didn't read all 3 of them. And it's like something I'll get to sometime, maybe, but it was not... It didn't really grab my attention, and I just remember it was nothing like the show Seed, where all the characters were different, and I guess it was set in the same universe, but just something else that's happening with other members of Zaft and the Federation or whatever they're called in Seed.
Yeah.
So I think this character must have been someone from one of the Astray mangas, but I'm not sure which one, because there's all these sequels. And I think some of them are probably only available on, you know, on the Zeonic Scan site and don't even have official releases because Tokyo Pop died and stopped releasing manga at some point. And then I think they came back, but they don't do manga anymore.
Well, Tokyo Pop at the time, like, they released those Gundam mangas before they were ever in any financial trouble. Like, the financial trouble crap happened, like, four or five years, like, before... their troubles happened 4 or 5 years after they started releasing those Gundam issues, because they were like the kingpins behind keeping Borders alive, essentially, which is why Borders had that gigantic manga section in the early to mid 2000s. And that's where I basically got all my stuff was from Borders at the time. Cause like Tokyo Pop, they were, you know, their business model was, you know, we license 100 manga, but 5 of them might be like huge hits. And then we're just going to flood the manga market with crap, which is why we have the crap we have today in shelves. And, like, you go to use bookstores, and it's just sitting there because nobody wants it because it looks like garbage. Unless you're, like, really, really into manga, which you're even nicher than us doing a podcast, it seems.
Yeah, these were not, like, big titles, a lot of the things that they're getting.
Yeah, there was something like Hyper Police was one of them. They were releasing stuff by Korean manga artists or Korean comic artists. I remember I bought one that was called Phantom, and I never finished it. I don't even know if I made it halfway through, and I just, like, I never picked it up. And then I wound up getting rid of it a few years ago at Anime Smith.
I have some Korean Digimon that they put out. I don't know why they were picking up all these Korean series, but...
Probably because it was cheaper to license the contract, and... I freaking don't know, man. I mean...
Maybe so.
Yeah. I mean, who knows if we're ever going to get the rest of Initial D in America? Probably not. So...
Yeah, I don't know.
I know I got, like, the last volume they ever... There was, like, supposed to be, like, a volume 33. And people that, like, claim they have volume 33 online, like, sell it for way so much. But then apparently 32 is also worth money. But I bought that one. I remember ordering it, like, when it was, like, coming out. And I was like, yeah, I might as well. And then that's when I heard they were shutting down. I was like, oh, I'm glad I got it. But,
How many volumes did it get to in Japan?
It got in the 40s or 50s, I believe. But, like, that series ended, like, a couple years ago.
Hmm.
But now they're, like, doing these Legend movies. They kind of, like, go back and make the animation look better. Which it does, actually. I mean, from what I saw, it looks pretty good. So
yeah, Japan always likes to re-release everything with better animation, supposedly, every few years.
I mean, the series is 20 years old at this point. Like, the anime started in 97, and the manga started in 95.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I think it was 97 or 98 when the anime started. Yeah.
So it is getting pretty old, I guess.
Yeah, it's getting up there. Who knows if we'll ever get a Hokuto no Ken Kai or whatever. Probably never, even though that show's over 30 years old at this point.
Yeah, that's something that would be cool if they brought that back, but I don't know if they ever will.
Nah, and, like, even the DVD sets from Discotheque are out of print in America, which is sad.
Yeah,
I still gotta get that fourth collection. I've not been able to pick one up. Oh well.
There's like, they bring it back every now and then, but it'll be always be something like SD Hokuto no Ken or something.
They made it a second SD Hokuto no Ken series. It was like a little, it's like a mini short thing. I haven't gotten around to seeing that, but I saw the first one. And, I mean, it's, I don't know, like, you have to be a really big Hokuto no Ken fan to, like, understand it, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to get back into Gundam?
Yeah, sure. We got pretty off the rails because of Tokyo Pop being brought up. Yeah,
thanks, Stu Levy, you jerk, getting us off topic on our podcast. Good luck with your, again, failed revamp of a company.
What are they even doing these days? Isn't it like they do fan manga printing or something? Or something ridiculous like that?
Well, there was something like a while ago where Vice printed up an article like praising it, and people were like, whoa, what's this bullshit? And then the people were like, okay, did they not do their homework on exactly why Tokyo failed in the first place? Which, again, was over really bogus contracts, basically saying that they own properties, and even they're like claiming now that's like, oh yeah, you can still make stuff, and you keep your rights and everything 100%, and everyone's like, nah, we don't believe you, not one bit.
No one trusts Tokyo Pop.
I wouldn't either. So the Gundam Astray, that was it. Dang it.
Yeah, that was the one after Char's Counterattack, and then the next one after that is Wing Gundam Zero, it says. And it's like there's some old guy in a lab, and he's like ranting for a long time, and then
I think that that's Dr. Zero, or the one that designed the Wing Gundam.
Yeah, sure. And then,
if memory serves, because it's been a while since I've seen that show.
Yeah, me too. And then there was somebody. I think it was Hiro went up and like destroyed a space colony, and then that guy talked some more, and then it ended.
Well, the woman he's talking to is Relena Peacecraft, that she's like in the back or something. Because like the hair and the face look pretty much like Relena, and I was like, oh, that's who he's talking to. But in terms of continuity on when this event happens in the series, I can't answer that because I would have no clue, other than it's just to show how cool the Wing Gundam is and how badass, you know, Hero Yui is or whatever.
Yeah, I think this must have happened early on, because I remember that there was like some weird thing, like there's another Hero Yui and he was like a diplomat in space or something, and then...
Well, okay, the Hero Yui, the main character Hero Yui, his name is that's his codename. And his codename is based off the political activist named Hero Yui that got assassinated, like, years before, after AC 195. Holy crap, how do I know that? Okay, but, anyway, I wonder if this takes place, like, after the series, because they were still, like, they had, like, the mobile doll units that were still there, and Hero was, like, punking them one by one.
I don't know. Didn't they destroy the suits after the series?
Yeah, well, they destroyed, like, the space colony, space station, Libra, or whatever the heck it was called. And that was, like, Zex Marquis' White Fang group that ran it or something. And the last episode is him blowing up this giant chunk to save the Earth. And something about him leaving off of a plane and leaves Relena a note. And then that's all I remember.
Oh.
So I'm guessing this happens after. I freaking don't know, man. What I've just spouted out of my mouth has been like this. It's one of those things. Like, it's like if I talk about it, it's only when all these memories come back and I can just talk about it. But in the most part, if I think about it normally on my normal day, I can't remember jack squat about Gundam Wing. Probably.
Yeah.
It's the same effect of like if a Britney Spears song or a Backstreet Boys or an NSYNC song plays, I know the words like that. It's like it's like being under like a secret agent program, and that's like the trigger word. Only it's a stupid, crappy late 90s song. And then I know the words, and I'm like, why do I know this? It's the same with Gundam Wing. It's like all repressed in my 14-year-old like state of mind in the back of my mind, where it was like, I hated Britney Spears, but I know freaking three of her songs, and then Gundam Wing. that's the truth, man. I'm telling you. I am a dangerous person.
So now you're associating Gundam Wing with Oops, I Did It Again in your mind?
Man, don't make me think about it. Yeah. I probably come up with a college-age, like, theologian answer. I'm like, well, the two are totally, like, understanding because name some sprouts and BS on how the two are related or something. Oops, like, it did it again. It's an analogy for, like, how pacifism keeps failing and they think it's going to work and they're like, oops, we did it again. We're trying to make world peaceful. I don't know. Again, don't quote me on that.
Okay.
What's next? Let's get out of Gundam Wing. Because I feel like Gundam Wing in this, thank God.
Then there was another Gundam Seed one, and it was like the Wikipedia one describes it as being similar to The Matrix, and that's the one you were saying it was like Gundam Kung Fu.
Yeah, or John Woo movie, Gundam Seed style. No, like, I thought that was the one. I thought Shinji Aramaki directed one of these. And I was wrong. But if Shinji Aramaki had to direct anything and Gundam Evolve, it would be this episode, hands down, based on what I saw on those crappy CGI Appleseed movies. Because Appleseed is all about action scenes and 3D and a bunch of slow motion happening at the same time. And that is exactly what was in this Gundam Seed thing. Because I saw this like years ago online. I probably have the video file for it still. That like when I saw it, I was like, holy crap, this is stupid. But maybe that was the biased attitude I had because it was Gundam Seed. But you said you saw it and you were like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
Well, and it was the like all the others were kind of boring, you know, like not totally, but some of them were. I think this was, maybe this is right before that 15-minute one, but it was like, at least it was just like an action scene and it didn't try to fit into the continuity somewhere in some confusing way. Like the Wing one, I didn't have a clue what was going on in it. So this one, it was like, it didn't even try to have a plot. It was just like, a stupid action scene with a Gundam, like, attacking stuff in slow motion, which...
Yeah, like, he does, like, the Gundam does backflips and does a handstand thing. Although, yeah. like, I have to give it up for the, going back to the God Gundam one. Like, they actually kind of did a hint for at Hokuto no Ken, because they start punching each other and they do the whole like flying kick move, which I was like, all right, this is a good short. But the Gundam Seed one was like basically, I think they like probably took something out of a few John Woo movies and then just like, all right, we'll mold this to the master grade or perfect grade of like the Strike Gundam or something. And then make an action scene out of this where it's taking over like a Zaft base or something.
Mm-hmm.
But like that to me, it was just ridiculous. Like I remember like when I saw the handstand, I was like, holy crap, this is dumb.
Yeah, it's not. But
then again, it's
Gundam.
Interesting that like Gundams can be that flexible and move that way instead of it just being stiff and like, oh, I can take bullets. But this one still took bullets and then it still did those things because it can.
Yeah. It doesn't really fit with how the Gundams move usually, but that's like, I guess that was what was interesting about it, was that it at least was like a little different from usual.
Yeah, and different is never necessarily a bad thing.
And then after that one, there was the, I think this was the one you're referring to as being related to Gundam Sentinel, is that right?
I thought it was, because like I thought the Zeta units they had were like the Alpha, or the C1 or the C-pluses that were in Sentinel. And, like, I just kind of assumed when I first saw it, like, a long time ago. And I was like, oh, this must be related to Gundam Sentinel in some way. And, yeah, but this one, they fought some big mobile armor, diamond, Galactus, Galvatron-looking mother effer. And it was, like, piloted by, like, all these, like, new type sages or something stupid. And I don't know, it was still really cool to see, but that's all I remember. It's just a lot of lasers. It was like a big diamond, but it has like a bunch of feet and a giant hand, and the girl can control the giant hand and break the head of the diamond Gundam or whatever it was.
Yeah, I didn't understand the plot of this one at all, but it was, I mean, I guess graphically at least it was interesting, but you know, I don't really get the the thing about Galactus or whatever that you were comparing it to, like, yeah, I guess it was sort of like that, but this is supposed to be set in the Zeta timeline, is that right? And I don't know if it's before or after the series or at some point during it, or
I have no idea. That's just like one of those things where it's like it's in the universe, but there's no continuity to try to tie any of that in together.
Yeah, it says that the girl's name is Yuri G-Saw in the Red Snake Gundam.
Oh, okay. Okay, well.
And then Amuro and the...
I want to add to it.
Amuro and the White Gundam, and then there's a Gray Gundam piloted by Shin Matsunaga, who's apparently a Zeon guy called the White Wolf of Solomon.
Wait. The guy that was in the yellow... Or the gray... Wait, they're saying that they credit him as Shin Matsunaga?
Yeah, it says that the guy in the gray wolf, also known as the yellow color, or Buster
yeah.
Zeta, it says he's Shin Matsunaga from Solomon.
Yeah, they're... Okay, so Shin Matsunaga, it's one of those side stories that... I believe he's a character that came probably out of a manga that made one of those Gundam... You know how, like, in the 80s they were doing, like, all those kits where, like, they made a bunch of, like, weird-looking designs of mobile suits? It's kind of from that era. But in this case, like, Shin Matsunaga was, like, one of these aces that, like, apparently according to... Because I knew about him playing the PS2 Gundam Encounters in Space game. Both him and Johnny Raiden are, like, playable characters. And so that's based off, like, Gundam Ace side stories or whatever.
It mentions Johnny Raiden in this paragraph, too. It says, the original pilot of Red Snake Zeta was Johnny Raiden, who was reassigned since Red Zeta is new type user machine. And I guess he's not a new type.
I see. But it was never, like, according to the side story that I know of Shin Matsunaga, he wasn't a new type either. He was one of those, like... just ace pilots that fought along Dozel. And then, like, both the fates between Johnny Raiden and Shin Matsunaga was like, after the 1 year war, like, no one knew what happened to him. And like, so you can't really confirm that they were both either alive or dead after the 1 year war. And that's like all, as far as the story goes. So it's interesting that they brought this guy into this short and he's still alive during the Grips conflict in Zeta Gundam.
Yeah. I don't know why they chose to pick them as characters, but I guess that this is kind of just like fan service to use like really obscure characters from stuff like that,
yeah,
and make it.
This is like stuff like this is for people that are the die hard Gundam fans that like read all these side stories and like try to make it into continuity. But in this one, at least we get to see Shin Matsunaga ram his Zeta Gundam into the freaking Diamond Gundam thing and blow up. So like he's got a definitive ending to him. Whereas for Johnny Raiden, we don't know. Or we may never know, so who knows?
Yeah. Well, and then the one after that was... Okay, this one was Double Zeta, and it was... I guess it's set after the series, because they mentioned in the end of Double Zeta that they're going to...
Jupiter.
Jupiter, yeah. And then yeah. In this one, it's like they find some Neo Zeon remnants out there, and they battle them, and then there's some silly stuff involving birthdays as well.
Yeah, like, well, the thing is like, they rescue some Cubulate suit as what, the, like, this one thing is has a distress call for. And it's not really explained, like, who's the pilot.
On Wikipedia, or, you know, it says that it's a Puru.
It's another Puru?
Yeah, it says that there are two Purus that survive. There's Marita from Unicorn, and then there's the Puru in this one, and it says that... This was stated in the magazine Gundam Ace.
Okay. Well, they said it was like, they said they want to be called M, and so M is for Marita. So it could be related in some way, but like there's no hard evidence to back that up, so like I can't, you know, make that claim or anything. But I mean, it's a good like idea to think about it. Like there's, like, you can speculate all you want, but I mean, there's no factual thing behind it. Yeah, that's right. Marita was a Peru unit. I forgot about that.
They also had, as well as Judo in it, there was Rue Luca, and she was like on the video screen, and he kept talking with her about something about it was his birthday or something, and then his sister Lena made him something, and I guess Rue made him something as well, and it. At the end, he was like, is this supposed to be a pancake? And she's like, no, it's supposed to be a cake. Because I guess it got damaged.
Pancake, yeah.
Yeah, she was like yelling at him.
Yeah, that's Japanese anime girls for you.
Yeah.
Crap, what came after that one?
Let's see. After the Double Zeta one, we're at number 11, which is the one with the ball that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, I thought that one might have been the best one.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was kind of short, but, like, I guess it was mostly, they were, like, building up suspense, and it was supposed to be kind of like a horror-themed one.
Yeah, because, like, he's got, like, his little, like, the kids, it's like, you know, this rookie Fed pilot or whatever, and he's in a ball unit, and you know they're cleaning out a Balaku and trying to get every nook and cranny, and he's still got Zeon remnants that are still in there trying to fight him off. And, like, it was really cool that it came down to him being the survivor. Like, and he's not, like, anything special. He's just out there to try to survive in this horrible situation. And then, I don't know if it was a mirrored image of, like, him, when he blew up the Zaku unit, like, a pilot came out of it. And I wasn't sure if that was supposed to be, like, a splitting image of him or, like, to reflect of, like, you know, there's someone as young as he is, like, fighting, and, like, he's the one that had to kill him and everything, and he's seen a body, he's seen his own, like, hands cause the death of someone, and that's freaking him out. That's, like, the way I can take it.
Probably something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
They're just supposed to be the horror of the situation, that there's, like, a dead body there.
Yeah, and this one, it's, like, there's so many, you know, about Baku's a maze, so, like, you don't know, like, where someone's gonna hide and try to take you out. So it's like he's completely like on edge, on his guard, and you know he's like, you know, just trying to survive.
Yeah, and then the next one after that was, it says Rick Dias, and that was the one with Quattro, and he's like in a bar, and then someone shows up and is pretending to be Char.
Yeah, it's some dude, like crazy dude, and like Char obviously has a piece in his jacket because he's got his hand in there, and then it's like, oh, it's just some crazy dude.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, that's kind of weird that, like, somebody's out there to claim that, you know, he's somebody. And it's like somebody, like, breaking into, like, a bar and you're there and they're, like, claiming that they're you and they're going to, you know, rise, you know, bring back Zeon again under your name. And, you know, there you are just sitting there, like, this guy's kind of either soiling your good name, but at the same time, like, well, Char was sort of, like, a fake name to be. He took the name of another person. So it wasn't his to begin with, and now he's under another alias called Quattro Bagina at this point. So probably to him, like, the name of Char is long dead and gone with the 1 year war, so.
Yeah, although, you know, he's planning to bring it back because, like, the people who've seen this will probably have seen Char's counterattack and know that he's gonna, you know, he's got plans for bringing back Zeon.
Yeah,
maybe this is like gives him a spark, like this drunk guy showing that people still care about his vision, like shows that there's still hope for Zeon, even though this guy's just some random drunk who likes Char.
Or like a dope head or something.
Yeah.
But that one was mostly like the battles were like a simulation thing where he's like in the Rick Dias and he's fighting Data. Which is basically like fighting Data, like how he performed back in the 1 year war, and then it ends with him like going against the Data of like the Gundam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part was cool. There were some nice CGI battles in that one, and then yeah. 13. This was like some Titan, and he was flying into a place that was about to be nuked, and he saw a video from his dad where he was like, bail out because it's going to be nuked. And then they had some conflict with him and his dad over the company that the dad runs.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is another Zeta one, I think.
Yeah, this one was, basically it was Jaburo. It was like the events leading up to the invasion of Jaburo and like about that place about to be nuked. And, you know, I guess like he went to the Titans to run away from his father or something. And then he winds up like being thrown off course and surviving the blast because he wasn't there.
Yeah. So that one was okay.
Yeah.
And then it was Rekka Musha Gundam. This was like, this really weird one where it was SD Gundam.
Yeah. I don't know if the guy who directed this worked on the SD Gundam 4 show, because this one had the Zakus, like their vents, would move when they would talk.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know if, like, because based on when this short came out, like it came out after the SD Gundam 4 show was, like, came out, and it came out after it aired on Toonami. And so I'm wondering if this guy was just like, I want to continue making SD Gundam 4s. You guys let me in there, probably like, yeah, man, sure. I mean, you ought to get over it, but we'll give you one more shot.
Well, there was that other SD Gundam as well that they made later, and it was like based on Romance of the Three Kingdoms or something. I don't know what year that came out, but it was like another SD Gundam TV show that they made later on.
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so like I don't know if that's any good or not, or if that's similar to this one in the animation or whatever. But this is like, the plot is not related to the SD Gundam Force that was on Toonami, because it's like set in feudal Japan, and it's this Gundam who's like from a team of Gundam that he mentions them all. When he's at this shop with some little Gundam kids, and he's like talking about the other team members, but I don't think they ever actually show up and fight with him or anything. You know, I couldn't really summarize what the plot is, like who he's fighting against or why, though. Then after that, there was the last one, which was New Type Talia Bull, And it says it's a reimagined version of episode 39 of the original TV show.
Yeah.
So it's like CGI version, and it's got Amuro, and he's like, they're doing this weird special effect on him where it's like some white stuff coming out of him, like a ghost or whatever, each time he gets like a new type vision. And
yeah, I wasn't sure what was up with that. It's like, is that like what he was supposed to be? Like the movements he's doing is supposed to like tell him to like, you got to move this way to avoid it? Or like, I like that, of course, that was not explained in this at all. It's just there to show like cool new type battle scenes or whatever.
Yeah, there was like a lot of action in this one, and it was, I guess it was a good way to round it out after the first one was like the original Mobile Suit Gundam animation to show what the battles were like back then, and then this one is showing more like what you can do with modern animation.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I can appreciate that, but it did kind of drag on, and the plot, they didn't really do a great job of explaining what was going on, because it had like him talking with Char and with Lala, and Char was like, Lala, what is this guy talking about? So like, even he didn't really understand, because he kept making these comments about like the good of new type kind versus the good of mankind and stuff like that they were talking about.
I'll be honest, this is when I was on the internet looking up Quattro Vegina sunglasses after, because like I saw like the Char episode, a couple the evolved ones, and I was like, all right, someone out there has got to make Quattro Vegina sunglasses from Zeta Gundam, and I'm gonna look on the internet while this is playing and see if I can find any. And luck would have it, there's someone out there that makes these custom cosplay like wraparound sunglasses. And there are some that exist, so it's on Etsy, and I'm probably going to pick one up eventually or make an order for this guy, so.
Okay. So you're going to be able to cosplay as Quattro now?
I would love to cosplay as Quattro. I have to grow up my hair a little bit, but I think I can pull it off.
I might be wrong, but didn't Cloud do this like a few years ago with his sister where it was like he was Quattro and she was Sayla or something like that?
Dude, I freaking had no clue. I know that like they did Evangelion one year for Anime Boston.
Yeah, that too.
And yeah, I think like him and his sister look a whole lot alike. Based on like what I've seen of pictures of him and her, because they're just both like, I don't think they're twins, are they?
I don't know who's older.
Okay. She looks kind of, because like I think that I saw a picture of her once, and I think I might have saved it or something, just to have it on file of like what his sister looks like for the heck of it. And she kind of looks a whole lot like him, and what I mean by that is they both look very, very dorky. No offense to Cloud, but
Cloud's going to listen to this on Dropbox, so I'm not going to say anything more.
He said, what about my sister? Nothing, dude. You're both a dorks. That's what I'm saying. Hey, dude, I date a dorky girlfriend, too. There's nothing wrong with that. So
yeah, and that was the last one. And then I guess they just stopped making these after 6 years or however long it ran.
Yeah, they haven't really, I mean, they haven't done anything like this since then. I mean, it's been 14 years, no, but it's been like 10 years since the last one.
Yeah, and like 15 or so since it started.
This must have been like just there to do as a promotion thing on probably the website or whatever. But yeah, it's interesting that of all the Gundam things that came out and was licensed by Right Stuff, they were able to get this and put it out there. Which is interesting, because like it's only like Right Stuff seems to be appealing to those real true Gundam fans, which is like a good thing because they still exist in America. But like, I mean, I really don't know of anybody that's ever like, yeah, we can't wait till we get Gundam Evolve here. Like, no, I've never really heard anybody say that. I've never said that. But the fact that we got it and we're able to review it and have it in our collection now, it's like, okay, well, you know, this thing does exist for the diehard Gundam fans in America. So. And it is something that, like, people should definitely check out. I mean, like, Yeah, we could sit here and tell you, like, what the plot is, but, like, you know, this is between 5 and 15 minutes long. We're not really, like, giving anything essential away that's, like, all connected together or whatever. We're just telling you what's going on. But it's really there for the visuals. The stories are almost non-existent and are kind of, I guess you could, I mean, you don't want to really say crap, but they're very simple. And it's, you really, you own Gundam Evolve because you're a Gundam fan and you want to see something visually to add on to your collection. That's pretty much what it essentially is.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a big fan of the Gundam series and you want to see some of the classic designs with more modern animation, then yeah, this is probably for you. And you can get to see in some of them what happens after the series, like what happens with Judo after Double Zeta ends, and yeah, maybe with Wing, although I don't know for sure when that thing was set, but you thought it was after, so probably it is after. I don't know if it's like after Endless Waltz or after the series or what, but
yeah, I mean, but also, like, if you're, like, big into, like, oh, that was what I was thinking of, Mobile Suit Variation. Those were those kits that they Bandai made to, like, kind of add on to, like, the Zaku units. Like, oh, what if a Zaku and a Gogu had cannons on them or whatever? So, like, with Shin Matsunaga, he's, like, you know, if you're, like, fans of, like, these side story characters and you want to see what happens to him, you know, if he's, like, you know, what's he doing in the world of Gundam if he was still alive or, you know, whatever, then, like, you could see that in this.
Right, yeah, this is something for people who are, like, I guess either hardcore fans or someone who just wants to get into it just by seeing, like, how cool the robot designs can be in motion. It can work either way, but yeah, you get the most out of it if you know everything about Gundam.
Yeah, from a 3D, if you were, like, into 3D modeling and you wanted to use this as a reference piece for, like, you know, something you're doing, for, like, if you want to design robots or something, like, this would be something interesting you could use for, like, as a source material. Like, okay, well, I want to animate it like this. How do I visually see, like, how something like this could, you know, be made and created? And, like, even if you were trying to learn how to, like, use a Gundam kit and upscale that or, you know, convert it into a 3D model somehow on a computer, like, you can look at this and kind of fill in the blanks there on how you think it was done. So yeah, like, it's kind of for those, like, for, on a design aspect, this is a great piece of, like, something to use as maybe even, like, an instruction manual or in a way, like, how these things are designed and how they can move. Like, especially the Gundam Seed video, as dumb and stupid as I think that is, like, in terms of movement and animation with 3D models, it's a very good piece to use if you're into 3D modeling, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get a lot of sense of, like, the motion of it just by watching it and see, like, how you can make something move when it's just a model and it's not an actual, you know, drawing or whatever. So
yeah, very, very good design aesthetics, I have to say.
Yeah, and I guess there's really not that much to say about this, but it's like a unique thing about Gundam that was never released before, and that's what's nice about what Rice Stuff is doing, is that they're releasing a lot of things that have never had releases before. And we're starting to get in the mail from them Gundam X and Gundam Double Zeta, both of which are never released before in the United States. So it's cool that they did that. Yeah. And
we just got to wait for the Collection 1s for each of those, because we kept getting Collection 2s for some reason.
Yeah, there was like 1 month where we weren't on the official reviewers list.
Yeah, well, hopefully by next month we're noted to get, when the next shipment comes, we'll get Collections 1s for these, so...
Yeah. So,
because I told them, I sent that in an email to the lady we're working with now that replaced the Thane spot, and so hopefully we'll get that in soon. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. And for other episodes that'll be coming soon, there's E3 and other things that maybe they'll be out by now. Maybe they won't. There's Magic Users Club, and
yeah,
so. We have a variety of things that we're going to be reviewing in the future, so look forward to all that.
Yeah, I mean, I've still got the animation review to put out, and a bunch of other stuff I want to tackle and get that out too. So I'm trying to get E3 out as soon as possible. So, I mean, it depends on if you're going to have TY on tomorrow or whenever, if he wants to come on and talk about Zelda stuff. Like, that... whatever happened in Nintendo doesn't interest me, so like that's all on him. But that could be 2 hours of him like talking about how drunk he is. So
yeah.
Well, just let me know how that goes and just be like, hey man, I don't think there's anything good structurally for E3. And I'm like, all right, cool.
I already converted the file for the previous recording and I'm going to put it on Dropbox just in case that we don't get anything more out of it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll get it soon. And then if I don't get anything new by next week, I'll just put out the E3 one by itself and on what we record it. So I'll just go from there.
So I guess we should move on to closing remarks now. Do you have anything?
Yeah. Well, I kind of don't, I mean, I don't want to say anything about, and it's really more on the fact of like probably dating this episode in some way, but I mean, there was we just had the worst shooting in America over the weekend in Orlando at some club called Pulse. And I don't want to say too much about it in case I come off the wrong way for anybody listening to this. And I mean, it's basically like, it's a tragedy of what happened. Like, there's no denying that. And it's a bad thing that happened, but that's pretty much it. Like, anything on the media now, they're going to keep talking about it and everyone's got their opinion on it. And this is regarding from one extreme to the other in terms of like, oh, they're, you know, it was a personal attack. Well, I mean, it was a personal attack on the gay community. And from the perspective and the eyes of someone who is Islamic by faith. And then you got the other ones that are like, oh, this is all because of gun control and we need more gun control. And no, we need to have more guns because if people if gay people own guns, this wouldn't have happened. So there's both sides to that. I mean, all I can really say that is that, it sucks. And I mean, that's pretty much it. And, it sucks what happened. So that's all I really want to say.
So I'm going to read some ghost tweets about the shooting.
Okay.
False flag evidence in Orlando shooting. Check out the woman's glasses in this interview. Lack of depth of field as well. In this video, her glasses are in transition lenses in the actual sun. Interesting video at the end. Hashtag Orlando. Hashtag false flag. Hashtag WTF. So he's a total conspiracy theorist these days where he thinks that all these shootings are fake and staged by the liberals in order to bring about gun control.
Wait. So is he believing that this is like some sort of mass suicide, and then the other 43 something people just couldn't do it right, and then like they wind up surviving somehow?
He'd probably say they're not really dead after all, and it's like they're just staging it in order to help the left take away the guns or something.
The only other thing that happened in Florida that was bad was the kid being eaten by an alligator.
Well, there was also that woman that got shot at the concert.
Oh yeah, that's right. The one that was on The Voice. I'm not really sure. Like, I mean, yeah, okay, that sucks too. But I guess I'm not understanding like why she got so popular. Is it the fact that she was on The Voice, or the fact that she was like a gamer girl, or?
I had never even heard of her before she died.
No, me either.
But, once somebody dies, people try to, like, make it trend so that they're remembered at least for a day until the next trend comes along, which is another shooting in Florida.
Yeah. That was kind of like a main thing. And I was like, yeah, that sucks. And then it was like, I was in church Sunday and you guys were texting about, like, some shooting in Orlando. And I was like, oh, I mean, that sucks. And then I realized, holy crap, 50 people are dead. And that is the largest we've had in America so far. And my thing is, like, if you want to get in terms of like the radical Islamic side, and this is coming from someone that is Christian by faith and beliefs, and I grew up with my belief in Christianity. I stand by it 100%. And yeah, like I may have my issues with the whole gay marriage and people being homosexual or whatever, but I don't hate them in any way at all. That I'm not I'm not radical in any way like that. No, I don't. Like, I'm taught and preached, and I am supposed to love people as myself, because it says so in the Bible. But for me, it's like my thought was, you know, hearing upon this, it's just like, you know, if Islamic people are going after a lifestyle people live of, or even, you know, even it's now, it's a culture, or it's always been a culture, but like, you know, they're going after that and attacking that, like, then what's the, from them stopping them shooting up a church? And that already happened last year in Charleston, too. And, you know, with Dylann Roof, which, you know, that, I mean, that's an actual, like, holy place, sanctuary, whatever. And, you know, like, what's stopping from somebody going to, like, a Joel Osteen's church in Houston and killing 300 people there? I mean, like, because that's – it only gets worse from there, John. That was, like, the first thing in my mind is, like, you know, if they can do this, if somebody who's entirely radical or, you know, that is going, like, so far in thinking this what they did is a good thing – and, you know, instead of taking that and, you know, people are saying, oh, it's a personal attack on the gay community. Well, it's a personal attack on anybody that doesn't believe in what they believe. So that's going to go after people that, like, that are Christians or people that go to some sort of pork fair and they kill everybody there because they're eating pork and that's unholy to them. Like, because you just don't know.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation there. But yeah. I hope that not many more things like this happen, but... You know, I have a feeling they will continue to happen as long as Obama continues to allow in massive numbers of refugees. Not that this guy specifically was a first-generation immigrant or anything, but, you know, a lot of these immigrants have kids, and this guy's father was an immigrant from Afghanistan, and, you know, from what I can tell, the father was also crazy. And there's, like, they found videos of the father where he's claiming to be the president of Pakistan, and he's like giving orders to the Afghan army and saying that they need to arrest the actual president of Afghanistan, you know, Hamid Karzai, and he's saying, like, you know, all these things in a uniform and pretending like he's the president when he's just some Afghan exile in the United States. And apparently he has some political party over there too, although I don't know how many people are a member of it, but this is like a whole deluded family, and now people are going after the wife and saying maybe the wife knew about it, or, you know, and then Trump has been saying all along that the families are aware of what's going on here, and they're aware when they've got a family member that's a terrorist that's going to do something, and they're aware that they've become radicalized and that they have a problem with the specific group that they're going to kill, like their workplace in San Bernardino or this club in Orlando, because this guy had, like, been there before, apparently, and he was, like, there's all these rumors that he was closeted gay that hated himself and then decided to kill all the other gays.
Yeah, because when they just, like, always find out that he was gay or something, and I was just like, oh, well, this just gets better and better. I mean, it didn't help that I, like, as soon as I heard this happen, like, I went to the most trusted news site on the planet, and that was Stormfront.
Oh, jeez.
Which is not trusted. No one should go there after something like this if you know you're going to be offended by white supremacists. But, like, it's just, I guess the frame is just like, all right, I'm going to check out these perspectives. I already kind of know, but it's just like, how are they going to put it? And then it was like, one of them was, yeah, there was one comment. I was like, well, that's 50 less people voting for the Democrats in November. It's like, well, okay.
Yeah, and then
felt like, you know, somebody was like, oh, this guy didn't do it for Islam. I think his gay lover cheated on him, and he went to go get revenge or something like that.
Yeah, they did have, like, a lot of people on there who were saying this was a good thing, and it, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens. And there was, like, a local church here in Maricopa County that, also, apparently, the pastor was saying that this was a good thing because these gay people had it coming, but it's kind of unfortunate when you have anybody that's, like, cheering this sort of thing on when it's, like, this amount of violence.
It's wrong to cheer that on, too, like, even coming from people that are Christian. Like, you're not supposed to be, you know, you're not supposed to celebrate people who are dying. Like, you know, regardless, pretty much to God, you know, if homosexuality is a sin, then so is gossip, so is lust, so is gluttony. You know, so is lying. I mean, all that's equal to God. So, like, you know, and the thing is, like, my pastor put this a good way, where, like, apparently homosexual is that top sin. That's the worst thing ever. And that's when we have these, like, preconceived judgments of, like, well, people who are that, they're the worst people on the planet. So when they do die, I don't feel anything for them. And that is a total wrong way to have a mindset like that, or even believe that for even a moment. And, yeah, I mean, it's just, like, the thing is, like, 50 people died that, you know, and the Christian sense could have been, you know, ministered to, regardless if they became Christians or not. But that the point is, it's just, like, you know, people that, like, you know, they had people that they were part of their lives. They weren't like they were some segregated, you know, by themselves and, you know, didn't have any connections or ties except for that community. You know, like, it's, you know, affects everyone that ever knew them, regardless if you believed in what they did or not. So,
yeah.
And, you know, for these pastors to come out there and say this is, you know, like they got it, for, you know, it came, they got what they got coming, or, you know, it was God's wrath or whatever. Like, if it's God, you can't. The God's wrath part is throwing down the card to justify what the pastor's saying, and that's not right. If it's God's wrath, I wouldn't know because I'm not God. I can't answer for that. But, you know, it's just the fact that it's like, you know, you're supposed to be like, we're supposed to be there and love these people that also know these people and the family, and, you know, love them as we would do ourselves, and love thy neighbor and all that good stuff, because they are considered a neighbor, like the people on earth. Or one giant community, and we're supposed to, you know, kind of love each other the best way we can. Sometimes loving each other means not associating yourself with somebody because it might make the situation worse. I think that's also showing love. But, no, it's just a bad situation. Like, I didn't even want to talk about this, but, I don't know. Maybe I said it the right way. I'm just speaking truth. I'm just being honest, so.
Yeah, we're not going to devote, like, a whole episode to this. Like no, you were saying, Steve would have done that. No. But I think we've really said enough on this. And So, yeah, I guess stay tuned for more episodes. And we may or may not be back on Tune Radio soon. We'll see.
Yeah, it's funny how that whole contract clause thing is like, oh, well, Mason keeps delaying it, which I hope he continues to, just to keep pissing him off. And so then it's like, you know, it'd be like 3 months from now. It's like, okay, we extended the clause, this so-called clause, like for the 50th time to Mason, you have to be on my next week. And he'd be like, yeah, sure, I'll be on next week. And the next week comes and nothing happened. Yeah. And then we're both sitting there laughing at these three dumb mother effers going, well, I don't understand how we're in the wrong when you dumb, you know, you idiots paid Mason $130 to put back a website that hasn't came back yet. And to be in, you know, in all honesty, I hope it never comes back. And Mason takes the money and runs with it. I mean, I know he wants Tune Radio back on, but it's just like, but they're trying to make it sound like this is the greatest investment and like it was a troll or a joke, but the choke is on them completely.
Yeah, they just wasted their money completely.
Yeah, like, and how am I an idiot? Like, how am I in the wrong? I didn't waste $130 on something that, like, you should have known wasn't going to go anywhere.
I saw TY was demanding a refund in the chat earlier.
Yeah, I noticed that Daft has not said anything about it in a week.
Well, Daft was on talking about it a little bit earlier today, but yeah, before then,
it wasn't as severe as it was last week, thank God.
He was just like, Mason, you still have 30 days to do this, or something like that. So, they're
like,
just,
yeah, okay, I'll get it done. Not ever.
Yeah. And then TY kept insulting him, and he would just say, indeed. Do you notice? I found the log here. I said, Tune Radio still isn't back. And then TY says, fucking Mason, we paid you the money. Get the shit up. And then Mason says, indeed. And then he says, watching for my Licenies application to be approved. The stream will be online next week. And then he says, TY says, if the contract isn't fulfilled, I expect a full refund, or I'll have this shark I know come break your legs, and not shark from the chats either.
Oh,
Mason says, in the meantime, I am working on raising the funds to pay for next month. TY says, do you have a job, Mason? Yeah, I write articles on how to watch cable shows online without cable for someone. Pays enough to keep things going. $30 per 500-word article. TY says, I know geeks who get paid more to bullshit glass papers for someone, Mason. Usually they get paid with money and pot, too. I remember Mason actually did do that kind of stuff on TuneRadio.com. He would have, like, some sort of link on, like, click here to get a paper written for you when we were starting out is the Cool Kids Club podcast. And then Mason says, working on a guide for some new Oprah show. Most of the article is written for me as they give me notes on what to write. TY says, I feel that getting a job at a supermarket would be more stable and fruitful than this. You could even work your way up to an office cashier. Just a thought. I don't want you to sleep in the library again. Mason says, that won't happen. TY, Murphy's Law, Mason. Mason says, indeed. And then that was the end of the conversation.
Well, wasn't Mason, like, supposed to be on, like an interview or something? Or, like, wasn't somebody supposed to interview him and he never told us about it?
He said he was meeting with more investors at one point, which then later on he explained that to mean just he was doing some work for someone else in order to get some money. Like, they weren't directly investing in Tune Radio. They just happened to be giving him money in exchange for unrelated work, which he's then going to waste on Tune Radio.
Yeah, I...
And the website is up, but it doesn't actually have a working stream, even though the press release said it was going to be airing tonight. It's not up, so...
Did he already put out the press release, or I thought he was still revising it or whatever?
Yeah, I asked him about that, as to whether or not it had been sent to anyone, and he said something like he still hasn't even sent it to any news outlets like Anime News Network or any of the places that he used to have his press releases sent to. Like,
I don't even know if Anime News Network will put something like that up. Well, I guess they would. I don't know. But, like, I mean, Josh said it best for, like, yeah, give it the Tune Zone. They put up anything.
Yeah. So here I said, Mason, what is the status of Tune Radio? Will it be up for an episode of AOI tonight? He says, should be online by next Wednesday. Had some issues with Shoutcast this week, but everything looks good now. Just waiting on my license approval. And then I said, you will need to tune us the press release. Has anyone published it? He says, I will. And then I said, it referred to our podcast as returning tonight. He said, not yet. I will send an update. And then I said, have they not received it yet, or has it been rejected? He says, haven't received yet. Been busy dealing with the new Shoutcast that I forgot to send it. And then Daft says, as long as Tune Radio is online in the next month, it does not violate our agreement. The investors and I have continued to secure more programming for our 2-year lease on Thursday night, which that's not going to happen. They're not going to program that night.
Even if Mason gets it up for like a week, he's still going to shut it down for 3 months, and they're going to be like, Mason, I want our money back. You failed their contract. And then he's just going to be like, indeed. And they just laugh his way to the bank. Yeah. I mean, like, he owes them nothing. It's a donation. And they're trying to make it sound like it's the most professional thing ever, and they try to, like, con us into that. I'm like, I'm not that stupid. Yeah. Like, who do you take me for? I may be dumb. Not that dumb.
Yeah, nobody would be stupid enough to fall for this contract. Even Mason realizes it's BS.
No one's stupid enough to donate to Tune Radio. I mean,
except those three.
Yeah, it's better. It's easier for me to talk about it now since that was like a week or two ago.
Uh huh.
But I didn't want to mention anything about it like last week. I was just like, no, I don't want to do. Like, I still feel that, like, I don't want to add Daft to the podcast right now. I mean, TY, I was like, yeah, go ahead, I don't care.
Yeah, he's barely involved, but he did waste money on it.
Yeah, regardless if he put the money towards it or not, like, he hasn't talked a lot of shit like VQ and Daft have.
He didn't write up like hundreds of paragraphs to harass us with, and then get on Skype.
He signed a piece of paper that means nothing.
Yeah,
from to a lawyer that
doesn't exist, or exists only on Judge Judy.
Yeah, which is probably not even a real lawyer. Like, I don't know. I don't know how that whole sitcom. I don't know how that judge shows work. They're probably real lawyers, but they don't use their real names or something. I don't know.
Who knows. Yeah, but it's definitely not a family friend of Dad, like he claims.
Yeah, whatever. Man, we're about an hour and a half or hour 25, and I don't know, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, so. The last 20 minutes were closing remarks, but that's probably enough, so
yeah.
I think I'll call it a night here and hit end on the recording.
All right. Later, guys. Did it again.